Welcome to Your Career Cure Podcast, where amazing professionals and entrepreneurs share their inspirational stories so you can get a dose of a happy career, happy life. And now, your host, Gail Tolstoy Miller.
Welcome to episode one of Your Career Cure. I am so excited to have Clarissa Carr as my first guest. It's so exciting. Welcome, Clarissa.
Hi, Gail.
I'm so glad you're my first guest. You can't do that over. Like, it's only once. I can say that, right?
Right, exactly.
Okay, well, Clarissa is from a small town in Indiana. She was born to teen parents in the 80s, and she grew up in a trailer park while her parents worked multiple jobs. Never feeling like she was living a normal life, she retreated to books and TV to mold herself. Always a high achiever, Clarissa's fifth grade teacher took notice of her intelligence and gradually became her mentor. She contributes much of her success to this mentorship. She has recently relocated from Charleston to Atlanta to work as a project manager. Now, Clarissa, can you fill in the gaps and tell us a little bit more about your personal and professional life?
Sure. Yeah, like you said, I kind of had an unconventional upbringing in Indiana. My parents weren't around too much when I was a kid, and I was left alone a lot with my younger sister. I always had a hard time connecting with the people who were around me in my home life and my neighborhood, and I was always trying to kind of overachieve in high school. And even as a child, I was always trying to be the smartest kid and be at the top of the ranks because I knew somewhere in the deep recesses of my mind, even very young, that I knew the only way out of my situation was school and getting educated. So I put a lot of focus on that. And also because my parents weren't around that much, my sister and I spent a lot of time watching TV. And TV ended up having a huge influence over what I saw as normal, a normal way of living for kids. You know, we watched a lot of Full House and Family Matters and things like that where parents were really involved and you never had to talk about money problems and, you know, you had nice friends and nice things and the problems on TV were so trivial compared to my real life. So I started, you know, kind of pretending that that was my real life and, you know, keeping secrets and things like that led me down a path of kind of molding myself into somebody that I really wanted to be. And it was right around fifth grade, I had a teacher that really started paying a lot of attention to me more than other teachers had. And she thought that I was special and she thought that I had something going for me. And later down the road, she had a couple children and I ended up being her babysitter when I was in high school. And that was for a couple of years, I was maybe 16, worked for her as her babysitter. And of course, that's the time when I'm trying to figure out my next steps, you know, going to college and doing all of those kinds of things. But my parents didn't go to school and they had no idea how to help me with the college application process. My parents didn't even think I would go to college. So she was really a great person to have in my life at that time because she helped me with the applications and even, you know, paying the fees to get those sent out because they're not cheap and helping me narrow down kind of a school that I thought was for me and what I wanted to study and things like that. And, you know, I didn't have that anywhere else in my life. I didn't have somebody that I could talk to like that who had experience in college and knew what I was going to be doing. I mean, I think I was almost getting ready to leave for college before I realized that I was actually going to live there. It was a strange experience.
So everybody around you was very different, didn't have the same aspirations as you. It seems like everyone that you were surrounded with didn't go to college. Am I correct about that?
Yeah.
So this is why there is no coincidence that you were my first guest. And I find your story very fascinating. And I think that this is a good start because it lays a foundation of what a lot of people have issues with, especially in their career and job, is they become a product of their environment. So that's like a huge thing where, you know, you have people that are entitled too that have a lot and they can't get out of themselves. Like they're still stuck. And people feel that they just can't get out of it. And I think you're such a great example of taking ownership and having a different mindset. But I think what's really important is why you? And I think that's the big question that I think everyone is going to have is, you know, maybe your sister doesn't, I mean, how did she turn out, your sister? Did she want to go to college?
No, she still hasn't. She still lives okay. In that same small town. She's married with children.
Okay. And that's fine for her, right?
Yeah.
And that's working for her. But why you? Why is it that you looked at that TV and most parents don't want their kids watching TV? Usually it's a negative, but you found comfort in the TV. You learned from the TV. And luckily the TV shows that you were watching at that time were positive, right?
They had good values. Yeah,
right, exactly. So I'm wondering, why is it that you've always wanted to achieve, you didn't feel like you fit in, that you wanted more? What do you attribute that to?
I think I really attribute a lot of that to seeing the fact that my parents were always struggling. Like I never saw my parents because they had to work all the time. And I knew that I didn't want that for myself. I didn't want my life to be a struggle because I couldn't make enough money working that I had to have several jobs. And, you know, I did go down that path in college. I had to pay for college on my own, a private school. And I did have to work several jobs to, you know, pay tuition. But I knew that eventually it would pay off. And I just still to this day, my parents are kind of the example of what I don't want to do and what I don't want for my life. And maybe it was something in TV or books or something that just told me that inherently that wasn't for me. That wasn't the path that I was meant to go down. I was always kind of a black sheep in the family and I wanted out very, very desperately.
But I think that's the symptom. Like, why you? Why is it that you watched that and that's how you were affected? Because, I mean, if you look at other families, you just happened to live in a trailer park and your parents worked a lot. But there were also families that are millionaires and the parents are never home either and they work a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it's something maybe within your personality or your DNA or maybe something else too that made you the way you are. Like I think it's a question of whether it's something in your personality innately or is it external? And that's what I'm trying to figure out here.
I think it's probably innate because I've always been this way. Like I said, you know, from childhood, I knew something was off and not right for me. And, you know, I've always been the kind of person like, you can't get me down. I'm always, you put something in my way and I'll just find a way around it. And a lot of that, I think, had to do with my mentorship. Like I was talking about with my teacher, she was the person who really showed me that I didn't have to keep doing that. I didn't have to keep living that kind of life if I felt like it wasn't right for me. Just it wasn't my destiny, so to speak. Like just because that was my situation didn't mean it had to be that way forever.
And I mean, that's a huge undertaking, I think, when you're not in an environment where people go to college and you have no mentors. Like parents tell you, you need to go. I mean, there are plenty of parents that have never been to college and they still want their kids to go because they think it's a way out and they want their kids to be more educated than them. But it
right.
sounds to me in your case, you didn't have any of that except for your mentor.
And right.
the fact that, I mean, college is expensive. As you said, there's the applications. It's just knowing how to navigate and having some information and knowing what to expect. And it sounds like you had none of that. And that's huge.
Yeah, as pretty clueless.
But yeah, like as a 17 or 18 year old, that's a huge deal. I mean, I have a son that just went to college. He's going to be a sophomore now. He had a lot of guidance. And I can't imagine not having any, really. It's huge.
Yeah, it was a really difficult process. I mean, I had way more questions and concerns than, you know, your average kid because I didn't understand how it all worked. And then when it was time to go, I started becoming friends with a girl who I knew was going to the same school. And I kind of clung to her as a life raft because, you know, she knew what to expect and she had siblings that had gone to school and so did her parents. And I asked her to be my roommate And she helped me a lot, like telling me what I needed to buy for the dorm room and things like that, and how to even register for classes. I didn't even know how to do that. Yeah, I learned things the hard way there the first year or two at school. But yeah, I think part of that, you know, was involved in my path and why I am who I am now, and why I think I'm different than a lot of other, you know, candidates out there for certain jobs, or and I have just a unique view on the way the world works, just because I was, yeah, essentially clueless going into it, where I had no prep or resources other than, you know, this girl that I asked to be my roommate and my fifth grade teacher helping me along, you know, whenever she could. And, you know, she had children, she has a disabled child, and she took the time out of her life to help me. And, you know, that was a huge deal for me.
What was your first recollection that you wanted a different life? Like, was there a defining moment where you said, this doesn't seem right to me, or this is not what I want for myself, I want something different?
I think it was, this is a really horrible memory. I wanted to have a birthday party when I was, I think, 8 or 9. And I gave out invitations at school to have a birthday party and put my address on the invitations because it was going to be at my house. And a couple of the kids in school started talking kind of behind my back and found out that their parents didn't want them to come to my birthday party because I lived in a bad neighborhood. Mm. And I think that was a major turning point for me, was thinking that people would not want to associate with me because of where I lived and my parents' lifestyle.
Wow. So how did you deal with that moving forward?
I started lying about where I lived and never had friends over or anything like that. Yeah, definitely started hard on reading a lot and trying to kind of pretend to be somebody else that seemed like the normal kids, that their parents would let them come to my birthday party.
Wow. That's tough. So you never had any friends over at all?
No, not really. No. I would go to their houses, but, you know, I didn't want anyone to see the car that my parents drove either. And I would have them drop me off like around the block if I was going to a friend's house, and I would walk and just pretend that I didn't live that far away, or I would ride my bike or something so that nobody would ever see their car.
Wow.
Yeah, it was definitely a rough period growing up.
That's tough. Now, would you have done the same looking back? Do you think that was the right thing to do? Or would you have done things differently and say, you know what, this is who I am, take it or leave it?
I think, you know, hindsight's always 20/20.
Right.
I think I should have owned more of who I was when I was younger. And, you know, I started to stop denying it when I was a little bit older, like a teenager. But, you know, I can't say if that would have made a difference in how I was shaped or not. But I am ashamed of it, definitely ashamed of the way I pretended and hid.
Well, you know, it's just, if you really think about it, it's not really who you are, right? It's
right.
Really, where you live is a house. And I understand how it could shape who you are. It's your background. I mean, there are people that live in multi-million dollar homes, and then there are people that are homeless. And obviously, they're totally different experiences. So I get that, right? But
kids are cruel. Kids are really cruel.
Kids are cruel. And it's very difficult to, you know, it's very materialistic, our society.
Yes.
And we are judged on materialistic possessions and what you have. And it's difficult when you're, especially a teenager, you want to be like everybody else. You want to dress like them. You want to look like them. You want to fit in. It's all about fitting in. And if you don't, it's hard. It's hard. And
yeah.
And I think every place has that. You know, obviously there are certain places that are worse off than others, but even in wealthy suburbs, even within the wealthy suburbs, there's like the really, really wealthy. And then there's like the other side of the tracks. But even the other side of the tracks is like amazing. Like most people would want to be on that other side of the track.
Right.
Right. So everything's relative, but still living in a trailer. And it seems to me that there are other kids that you were growing up with in the school system did not everybody did, that there was a big disparity in the way you lived versus the way they lived.
Yeah, there is a huge disparity in that town in and of itself. I mean, there's a really wide divide between the lower class and the upper class, and the middle class is almost non-existent just because it's a factory town and there's people that own the factories and the people that work the factories. So it was a weird situation growing up with like really, really wealthy kids and really, really poor kids. And there's no private school in the town.
Got it. So did your parents finally accept the fact that you wanted to go to college? Were they happy when you finally decided?
I think they were ambivalent. Of course, my dad didn't really understand what was going on. He didn't understand that I was going away. And my mom was more concerned with how I was going to pay for it and get through. And she tried for almost a year to talk me into just going to a community college to save money. And at the time, I thought I was too good for that. And I worked so hard that I deserved to go to this, you know, big private school where I'd been accepted. And I had a scholarship and I thought everything was going to be okay. So, yeah, I wouldn't say they were like saying congratulations or anything like that. No.
Okay. So what would you tell people if they're in your situation as far as feeling stuck, or anyone who feels like you don't have to live in a trailer park to feel stuck or feel like you can't get out of where you are now to a different place? What would you tell people?
You can get out. There's always a way to get out. And I don't know, maybe if that's something I learned from books or believing in things that happened in TV, but I never gave up. I would say my advice is don't give up. If you fail, you know, fail gracefully and move on to the next thing.
And what about the mentorship? Do you think that's crucial to have a strong mentor?
Absolutely. I fell into my mentorship. I wasn't seeking it out. But now, as an adult, I do seek mentors out all the time for whatever it is that I'm trying to do. Even if I'm trying to learn how to be a better cook, I go find somebody who can teach me how to make something, you know? So I absolutely am a proponent for finding a mentor and finding someone that can give you real life experience as advice for how to go where you want to go and do what you want to do.
Yeah, I think mentors are very important. No matter what level you're at, no matter how successful you think you are, there's always room for advancement.
Yeah, and there's always somebody else's opinion that can help you shape your own.
Right. You got to be really careful with that too.
All right. You want to find somebody right. That you trust.
And, exactly.
And who shares your vision.
Right. That's more knowledgeable.
Absolutely.
I think yeah, that's
I was
key.
Lucky that, you know, it was my teacher and it definitely an incredibly trustworthy person. I'm still in touch with her today. But, you know, you can find the wrong mentor. I would just say be selective and be cautious at first. But if you already have someone in your life that, you know, it might not even be somebody that does exactly what you do, but just somebody that can put you on a path, put you in connection with people, or give you, you know, sound advice about what the next step in your life should be.
Someone who is successful. So it doesn't have to be someone that is necessarily in the same industry that you want to go into, but just someone who has success that knows something that can provide sound advice, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I think mentorship is really important. And I think it's important to give back too. So do you mentor anyone?
I do. I was a professor for a while at a college where I live now. And I was in a program called Mentoring Matters, where I mentored students in our diversity affairs, diverse cultures club that we have at that college. And, you know, it was students who were kind of in the same situation that I was when I was young at school, didn't come from a background where they understood really the way college worked and things like that. So I spent time with those students, helping them navigate the different things that can pop up, you know, filling out your financial aid forms or finding transportation around campus or how does the lunch system work and your food plan and things like that. So I definitely take that part of my life very seriously. And I hope that they're taking my advice. I hope that they're listening to me. I've made a lot of good friends doing things like that. And, you know, even outside of the college world, I mentor a couple of friends who are looking to you know, change careers and try something new with their lives. And that's really fun for me too. I like exploring ideas with people who like to change.
Great. So how do you think that your background has helped your career?
It definitely has made me a person that is, I don't know if scrappy is a good word. Yeah, I can't be held down. I'm always fighting and trying and on to the next thing. And I'm not very complacent. I always want to keep working and trying and learning new things definitely is. I come from a background in education, so learning definitely never stops for me. And I said my whole life, I don't want to be a teacher. I don't want to be a teacher. And then I did become a teacher for about 7 or 8 years. And I think that definitely was a wake-up call to what the path was that I had put myself on the whole time was to teach people. And now I'm doing something else, but I still think learning and teaching is involved in my life and always will be.
That's great. Two words come to mind when you describe your story and the reason why you were able to make changes. And well, you mentioned one is scrappy, but I also think of resilience.
Yeah.
And complacency, as you said before. And I think that if you're resilient and you don't become complacent, then you will be successful in your career and every other part of your life. And I think that's where people get stuck is that they become very complacent and they don't.
Yeah.
And if you don't have resilience, then anytime something goes wrong, you're not going to be able to deal with that. And I think that's, especially when I interview candidates, a lot of it is that. A lot of it is complacency. It's fear. It's fear of the future, fear of failing, fear of so many different things. It's crazy. And also the resilience, because when you're resilient, the resilience is stronger than the fear that you have the fear, but your resilience can overcome the fear. It won't let you, it won't hold you back because you have that resilience.
Right. I agree. Yeah. I mean, the majority of the people that I knew in my life growing up, adult-wise, you know, my parents, friends, and my parents just, yeah, complacency was settling because they thought that was, you know, the best they could do and fear of taking a risk or trying something different because they didn't know this or that or didn't have an education. And I didn't want to ever be stuck in something I didn't want to do because I was too afraid to take a risk or try something different or learn something new.
Right. And it's about managing yourself, really taking responsibility and not blaming your future or what you're doing right now on your current situation. So you really did. I mean, I commend you for this because I think you're a great example of a person that knows how to carve out their future. It doesn't blame or complain that, oh, I'm stuck here and this is the way it's got to be. No, you went out and you carved out your own life. And I think that's really important for people to do when they feel stuck.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't let that stuck feeling keep you stuck. You know, you have to just try. If you don't try, then what are you living for? You know?
Right. I mean, we all get stuck, right? I mean, it's just a matter of either how long are you going to be stuck? Are you going to be stuck for a day?
And are you going to let it rule you?
Exactly. Like, okay, I'm stuck. What are the steps for me right now to not being stuck? Like moving forward and just those baby steps, getting out to a different place and getting unstuck. So that's so important. So let me ask you this. If you look at your career so far, what do you think your worst career moment was?
Ooh, I've had some bad ones.
Pick one.
I had a rough time right after I graduated from college because I finished school right when the housing market crashed. And, you know, I'm just running around with my little liberal arts degree, and it was really hard to find a job. So I started working at a pet store, and the people who owned this small pet store chain were a family and had also like a family friend working for them too that had been working for them for like over a decade. And I tried so hard to make the pet store my thing. Like, oh, this is a path that I can go down. Maybe I'll own a pet store and I'm going to do all these great things. And it was like they wanted me to learn how to groom dogs. So I learned how to groom dogs, and I did all this research on different kinds of pet food and learned all kinds of things. And it was not for me in the least. And I would come home all the time just being like, I do not want to go back to that job. And I think it filtered out into my, like, the reality of things. I started being like really late to work all the time. Like, things would just happen. Like, I wasn't paying attention to the time, or the alarm didn't go off, or I got stuck in traffic. And I just feel like that was like so much of a sign that I didn't even care about being on time, that I just didn't want to do it anymore.
Right, right. So it was kind of screaming at you saying, okay, you're kind of like self-sabotaging yourself because you hated it so much.
Yes, I think that's what I was doing. And I think that's one of my worst career moments, because I was old enough to know that I didn't want to do that, and I young enough to know that it wasn't a big deal if I tried something different. And, you know, I was fresh out of college, like brand new degree from private school. Like, I could have been doing all kinds of things. So I don't know why I tried so hard to settle into that. And yeah, I feel embarrassed about the fact that I didn't just own up to it and say, you know what, I really don't like this. I'm going to do something different.
It happens to all of us, I think.
Yeah.
It's like we don't realize it at the time, but, you know, when you're perpetually late for work and you're doing things to sabotage, it might not necessarily have to do with you per se that you're a bad employee. It's just yourself telling yourself that you don't like this. You don't know what you're doing. And maybe that's the only way that you realize it.
Yeah, like the universe coming around to make it hard for me to get to work on time isn't really,
it's
telling me it's time to go.
Right. You've got that Sunday dread. That's the word.
Yes. Yes. We got the Sunday scaries.
Oh gosh, that's horrible. Hate that.
Yeah, me too.
We're at the last question. It's called the Career Cure Round.
Okay.
All right. So this is a lot of fun, and it's really important, because imagine you are in a career cure contest and the prize is $5 million. $5 million. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
It is. It's a lot. But in order to win the $5 million, you need to come up with the best cure to win the $5 million. And I'm going to ask you three questions.
So okay.
Each of those three questions, just come up with something quick, and you have to come up with a cure. So we're going to start with number one. If you could cure everyone's career mistakes on this planet, but could give only one dose of advice or inspiration, what would it be?
Don't be afraid to fail. Just do it. Just try.
Okay. Just as Nike says it. Like the best quote ever. Simple, but it's true. Just do it. Okay, cool. All right, next one. In order to improve corporate America, what would be the one cure that you would provide to improve it?
Oh, wow. I would say disrupt the hierarchy. You know, think more of a bottom-up approach. Don't just do this pecking order I see all the time, like CEO, CFO, manager, sub-manager, and then you've got your like lowest level peons. I don't think it works that way. It doesn't foster a good environment. So yeah, bottom-up approach.
Okay, great. And last question. In order to cure people feeling stuck in their career, what would be the one cure for them to get unstuck today, right now? What would they have to do?
You got to brand yourself. Got to brand yourself, or maybe you need a rebrand. Get your name and ideas out there everywhere. The more you do that, the more you can cover up bad things maybe that are out there about you. You can't just sit there getting stuck on, you know, job boards and emailing resumes and things like that. If you feel like you need a different career, or you want to, you know, shake things up in your life, you got to get people to know who you are, make people know your name and your face and what you stand for.
Great. Awesome. Excellent. Okay, great. So how can the audience reach out to you?
I can be reached at my personal email, which is clarissa.carr@gmail.com, or via LinkedIn.
Well, thank you, Clarissa. You were an amazing first guest, and that's going to be the last time I could say that.
Thanks, Gail. Thank you. I had a great time chatting with you.
Well, thank you for sharing your wonderful story, and I know it's going to touch a lot of people and inspire them to get unstuck and get a mentor and make changes. So thank you for that. And I can't wait for the next Your Career Cure episode.
Get excited.
Thanks for listening. You can get more incredible career information when you visit yourcareercure.com. And don't forget, happy career, happy life.